What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No, no, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you over evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I greet you. I bless you in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. We are Word of Reconciliation Ministries at New Bethel, and I am Apostle Reginald, affectionately known as AR. We count it a privilege today to assemble. We thank God for the assembly. We thank God for his presence. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And we come in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We tell you that you are welcome. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in these broken vessels. Lord God, have your way. And before we get started in our Bible study, Gospel according to St. Luke, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless you. Lord God, we praise you. Hallowed be your name, Lord God. How excellent is your name, Lord God, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. God, we thank you again for another day, Lord God. You woke us up this morning. Father, we are clothed. We're in our right minds, Lord God. You've been with us all day long. You didn't leave us, nor did you forsake us. You're with us right now and always, even to the ends of the earth. And again, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to study your word. Lord God, as we open your holy scriptures tonight, Lord God, open our understanding that we may understand. Open our eyes, Lord God, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord God, speak to us through your holy word tonight, Lord God. Let us hear from heaven. And Lord God, right now, I decrease. I pray that you will increase in me. Holy Ghost, fill me up. Living water, fill my cup. Lord God, let it run over. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. That which you have spoken to me in darkness, I speak it in light. That what I've heard and doth hear in the ear, preach it from the housetop. We ask these and all things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Again, welcome to Word of Reconciliation Ministries at New Bethel. This is our Bible study. You find us right in the middle of the study where we are in the Gospel according to St. Luke. And we are in the fifth chapter, and we're going to jump right in. We're in the fifth chapter, and we're on the 18th verse. And the word of God says, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man, which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him." This time, and Jesus, was in his earthly ministry, and it was in full bloom. He was healing the sick, opening up blind eyes, was raising the dead. His ministry was in full bloom, and people were flocking to hear him. The power of the Lord was present to heal. His fame was noised abroad. They were coming from near and far, not only to hear him, not only to hear him speak, but people were coming to get healed. People with infirmities were coming to get healed. People with sicknesses were coming to get healed. People with diseases were coming to get healed. And they heard about this man named Jesus. So men brought a man. He was in a bed. He was taken with palsy. He was bedridden. He was stricken. And they brought him, and they came to lay him before Jesus. That's what friends are for. This man was paralyzed, he was bedridden, but his friends cared about him enough to bring him before Jesus. Those are the kind of friends that I need. See, the songwriter said, somebody prayed for me. Somebody had me on their mind. Somebody took the time and prayed for me. And I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. See, that's what friends are for, and I'm so glad that somebody stood in the gap for me. I'm so glad that somebody built up a hedge about me, praise God, because I was just like this lame man. I might have not have been paralyzed. I might not have been bedridden, but I was steeped in sin. I was engulfed in sin, and my Lord and my God, I'm so glad that I had a friend or I had somebody to pray for me. The songwriter went on to say, my mother prayed for me. My father prayed for me. And even, praise God, Jesus prayed for me. And that's what friends are for. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Praise God. Now, if you can find somebody to even help you move, that's a friend indeed. If you can find somebody that'll answer the phone after 10 o'clock at night, praise God. I don't care if you're in an emergency or whatever. Some people, you're on do not disturb, and they don't care what's going on in your life. But a friend loveth at all time. And this man had some friends that cared about him enough that they wanted to get him to Jesus. They wanted to get him to Jehovah Rapha. They wanted to get him to the Lord God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. And the word of God goes on to say, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And praise God, again, they had heard about Jesus Christ. And once we hear about Jesus, once we receive him in our lives, once we are walking in newness of life, once the blessing of God is upon our lives, the first thing we want to do, we want to tell our friends, we want to tell our family members, we want to tell everybody that we love and that we care about, and even the stranger, we want to tell them what the Lord has done in our lives. And praise God, this man had a friend, and praise God, they came to Jesus again. It was noised abroad. It was a crowd. They were coming from near and far, but there was a crowd gathered together to hear him. And they could not get in because of the crowd. And again, they couldn't just weave through the crowd, but because they had their man that was laying, their friend that was laying on his couch. So what they did, they went upon the housetop, they climbed up on the roof, and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. My Lord and my God, thank God for friends. And again, Jesus was there healing. They knew that once they heard, see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And they wanted to get their friend just to hear the word of God. And see, God, praise God, he confirms his word with signs following. And one of those signs is healing. One of those signs is healing. And again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we talk about this. I'm reminded, praise God, of this servant girl that was in captivity, praise God. We talked about this. She was in Israel, praise God. And the captain of the host, when she was in captivity, his name was Naaman, and he had leprosy. She said, if you were in Israel, I know a man of God, I know a prophet of God, and you would be healed. And praise God, when we know about Jesus Christ, when we know about what he has done, when we know about his power and his authority and what he came to do, praise God, we want to bring those that are sick. We want to bring those that are addicted. We want to bring those that are not in their right mind right now. We want to bring them to Jesus so they can get their deliverance, so they can get their healing. Word of God goes on to say, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. See, this is interesting. And sometimes I believe we missed it in Christendom. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. See, this man, he was bedridden. This man, he was sick. And his friends brought him. And Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. They had enough faith knowing that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, if they could just bring him before Jesus, that he would be healed. And Jesus saw their faith. See, a lot of times when we're praying for the sick in Christendom today, praise God, and they don't necessarily get their healing, we blame it on them. Praise God. That person might be in their right, they might not be in their right mind. That person may be in a drunken stupor. And we say, it's because you didn't believe hard enough, because you didn't have any faith, you didn't receive it. But Jesus saw their faith. He saw the friend's faith. And I'm encouraged by that, praise God, because I have some loved ones. I have some friends. I run across strangers, praise God. And I believe, God, that he sees my faith, praise God. When I stand in the gap for them, when I pray for them, when I lay my hands on them, praise God, God heals them, praise God, because he sees my faith. He heals them because he sees my faith. They may not be in their right mind, but God sees my faith. He hears my cry. He sees me standing in the gap for them, and he will bring them out because he sees your faith. I'm reminded about how Abraham stood in the gap for Lot. Lot was in Sodom. God had let Abraham know that he was going to destroy Sodom. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 8 that God heard the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, and their sin was so great that the stench of their sin reached the very nostrils of God. Genesis 18 and 21, it says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. They were going to destroy it. But the Bible says, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. But Abraham stood yet before the God. Those were angels of the Lord. They were come down just to see how bad it was and all together. But Abraham knew that Lot and his family was in Sodom. See, you might have some family members, praise God. You might have some loved ones. You might have some friends, praise God, that you know they're knee deep in sin. You know that they're on their way to hell if they don't repent. And praise God. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Praise God. And let's see what happened when he stood yet before the Lord. And while he lingered, verse 19, Genesis 19 and 16 said, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. So praise God, because Abraham stood in the gap. Abraham stood before the Lord. He prayed, and God being merciful unto him, he brought them forth. He brought them out, praise God. And again, let us be encouraged by this scripture, because it was written for our sake, praise God, that we can learn from this, praise God, because when we stand in the gap for our loved ones, when we stand in the gap, praise God, for somebody that we know that's in sin, that we know, praise God, that if death was to lay hold upon them today, that they would die. They might be in Sodom. They might be in homosexuality. They might be addicted to drugs or whatever it may be. Praise God. God hears our prayers. When we stand in the gap for our loved ones and for our friends, praise God, God will bring them out. God will bring them out. Now, next thought, we're just going to talk about the deity of Christ. Luke chapter 5, verse 21 says, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Who can forgive sins but God alone? See, the scribes and the Pharisees, they began to reason. They were trying to figure this thing out. They were leaning on their own understanding. Jesus had already told them that he was the Messiah. He had already told them in the previous chapter that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted. He told them, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Praise God. He said, pretty much said, "I'm that guy. I am that I am. I am the Messiah. I'm the one that you were looking for." And praise God, the deity of Christ. Who is Jesus? And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it goes on to say in the 14th verse in that same chapter, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible goes on to say that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And again, anytime you see the word capitalized in the Bible, they're talking about Jesus. So who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. He was all man, but he is all God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Verses 21 through 24, it says, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house." The next thought is, there is forgiveness with thee. Praise God. There is forgiveness with God. The Bible says God is plenteous in mercy, just ready to forgive. God is rich in mercy. He won't run out. He removes our transgressions as far from us as the east is from the west. He doesn't remember our sins and iniquities anymore. He cast them behind his back. He blotted them out as a thick cloud. He cast them in the depth of the sea. Again, he's rich in mercy. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that has washed me and made me clean. It's the blood of Jesus that has purged me and made me whiter than snow. The blood of Jesus even purged my conscience from dead works to serve the true and living God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, the blood and bulls and goats, praise God, it didn't do. It just covered, praise God. Houston, we have a problem. Humble, we have a problem. And sin is the problem. But my Lord and my God, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He did away with that sin problem when he died on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Again, I don't care what it is. Sometimes we think we've gone too far or done too much. But praise God, there is forgiveness with him. There is forgiveness with God. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And this text, it suggests that this man's sins were the cause of his problem, was the cause of his sickness. See, there are some obvious sins that invite sickness. If fornication is one of them. If fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're sleeping around, you might get caught up. You might get shot up. You might get beat up. You might get stabbed up. Praise God. You might catch an STD. Drugs and alcohol are another causes of sickness and disease. Just keep on drinking and keep on smoking. Read the side of the pack of the cigarettes. See what it causes. And we know you keep on drinking it. Cirrhosis of the liver, whatever. Sometimes, praise God, our sicknesses is a direct result of our sins. Because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I can't willfully ingest these toxins and these poisons. I can't willfully, praise God, be a lazy glutton and a slow belly. I can't willfully just overeat, praise God, because again, in the long term, these things are going to have some results. And sometimes it's sickness and disease, praise God. And, and another thing, praise God, sometimes we find ourselves in situations that were not our fault. Sometimes we find ourselves in some diseases and some sicknesses and some mental states that were not our fault. Let's look at John chapter 9. Well, and this is the man that was born blind. And in this particular chapter, John, it wasn't the scribes and the Pharisees that were asking Jesus about this man that was born blind. It was the disciples. It was the followers again, because it was just believed that if you had some kind of sickness or disease, if some type of ailment or affliction, sin was the cause of. We know sin is the ultimate cause of all sickness and disease, but they thought it was a direct response of something that this man had did. He was born blind, and they wanted to know, Jesus, who sinned, his mother or was his father? Because he was born blind. He was in his mother's womb. And Jesus answered and said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Praise God. See, you couldn't help, praise God, the parents that you had. You couldn't help the neighborhood that you were brought up in, praise God. You couldn't help, praise God, the things that happened to you when you were a young child, praise God. It might have been a molestation, praise God. It could have been some verbal abuse. It could have been some physical abuse, praise God. Somebody might have put a drink in your hand at a young age, praise God. Somebody might have blew some smoke in your face at a young age, praise God. And praise God, you might have had addiction issues ever since, praise God. And because of the molestation or the rape, the thing that happened to you when you were your young child, praise God, you may have some unnatural sexual attraction, praise God. But my God, I came to tell you tonight, praise God, that God wants to be glorified in your situation. God wants to bring you out. That wasn't your fault. But my Lord and my God, there is forgiveness with him. Praise God, there is some healing with him. Praise God, and God wants to bring you out of that situation. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Praise God. Because Jesus said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, praise God, but the works of God should be made manifest in him, praise God. God wants to be glorified in your situation. God wants to be glorified in your situation. I want to encourage you. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. You were wondering why these things happened. But praise God, it was not your fault, praise God. The next thought I wanted to share is forgiveness is the first step to your healing, praise God. Forgive your perpetrator. Forgive that person that that hurt you. Forgive that person that molested you. Forgive that person that introduced you to drugs and alcohol at an early age. Forgive that person that raped you. Forgive that person that violated you. Praise God. That's the first step to your healing. Praise God. Not that, praise God, you're letting them off the hook. Praise God. But you're letting yourself off the hook. You're letting yourself off the hook because vengeance belongs unto the Lord. He will repay. But my Lord, my God, praise God, if I don't forgive a man his trespasses against me, how will my God forgive me of my sins? Praise God. So when I forgive those that hurt me, when I forgive those that introduced me or did this to me, praise God, it takes the burden off of my shoulder. And praise God, now it's on the Lord, praise God. I have peace with the situation now. Because I know the Lord is gonna, vengeance belongs unto him. Vengeance belongs unto him. And God is saying today, arise and take up your couch and go into thine house. Whatever has had you debilitated or incapacitated, bedridden, or affliction, get up. Get out of your situation. Hear this word. Hear the Lord speaking to you today. Get out of that situation. Put it down. Let it go. Get up and walk. Praise God. Get up and walk. Get out of that situation. And the Bible goes on to say, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Your deliverance and your healing is not just for you. They were all amazed. They all glorified God. They all saw the miraculous. They saw something that was contrary to expectation. They saw something extraordinary. See, that man's faith, it was activated. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He rose up before them. God doesn't want to do this thing in a corner. God doesn't want your deliverance to be in the dark. The enemy has made a spectacle out of you for too long. See, everybody saw you on drugs. Everybody saw you with your head down. Everybody saw you in poverty. Everybody saw you in sickness and disease. But God wants those same people to see you to see you up, praise God. They want those same people to see you carrying that what you laid on. God wants those same people to see you free and free indeed. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And again, a child of God don't have any business being addicted to nothing. I'll say it again. A child of God doesn't have any reason to be addicted to anything, praise God, because when the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. See, I've been redeemed and I'm saying so. Again, they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Praise God. God don't want to do it in a corner. He wants everybody to see you walking in victory. Your deliverance, your healing is not just for you. It's not just for you. God wants others to see. Sometimes we get it and we try to go somewhere else. Praise God. That is in order sometimes. But sometimes God wants everybody to see it. And see your testimony. It's more powerful when people see who you were. Now, if you just meet me today, praise God, you'll be like, that's a good Christian brother. He don't curse, he don't drink, he don't do this, he don't do that. But the people that see me today, that saw me when I drank like a fish and smoked like a chimney. The people that see me today, that saw me, praise God, when I was always in trouble, always into something, praise God, always in a near-death experience, praise God. When they see me today, praise God, walking in newness of life, when they see me today, free and free indeed, when they see me today, redeemed from the curse of the law, that's when God is glorified. That's when God gets more of the glory. That's when they say, oh, my Lord, my God, they will glorify God for what he's done in my life, because they knew that he saved a wretch like me. that he saved a wretch like me. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. See, the publican or the tax collector was detested. They were Jewish agents who were helping the pagan Roman conquerors oppress the Jewish people. Most of them were crooked. All of them were hated. They skimmed off the top. There weren't any regulation. There weren't anybody watching over them. Most of them became very wealthy. But without hesitation, Levi left it all. He rose up and he followed Jesus. See, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and filthy lucre. You either hate the one and love the other. And word goes on to say, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? See, in this walk, we're going to have some fault finders. In this walk, you're going to have people, I don't care what you do, it's not good enough. You can say something, they'll say, I thought you was a Christian. Or you can do something. You're supposed to be saved. You're going to have some fault finders in this way. But my Lord and my God, we do have a charge, praise God. See, they were finding fault because Jesus was sitting with publicans and sinners. But they found fault with that. And we do have a charge to come out from among them and to separate ourselves and to be holy because our God is holy. But we also have a commission, praise God. See, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We are commissioned to go out into the hedges and the highways and to preach the gospel. Jesus, he goes on to say, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat with drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Praise God. And again, they that be whole, they don't need a physician. They that think they dotting every I and crossing every T, they don't need a savior. I see billboards, praise God. It says Jesus is the answer to all of your problems. My Lord and my God. But see, some people, they that are whole, praise God, they don't feel like they got any problems, praise God. They feel like, praise God, they got it all together. They're not sick. They're not in trouble, praise God. Their bank account looks great. Their 401ks look great. Their kids are in college, praise God. But again, praise God, I'm reminded, praise God, of the rich young ruler, praise God. When he came to Jesus, praise God, he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. You should not steal and honor your father and the mother. And the rich young ruler said, Lord, I've been doing everything, all of those commandments, I've been keeping them from my youth. But Jesus, praise God, see, he's omniscient, praise God. He knows man's heart, praise God. He praised God and he told that rich young ruler, there's one thing that you lack, praise God. And that one thing, praise God, was his love for money, praise God. And Jesus asked the young ruler, praise God, if you love me so much and you're doing everything right, you're dotting every I and crossing every T, this is what I want you to do, praise God. I want you to sell everything that you have, praise God, and give it to the poor. The Bible says, praise God, that young rich ruler, praise God, the Bible says he went away tearfully, praise God. He went away crying because he had much possessions, praise God. Praise God, but praise God, see, you think you got everything right. You think you're doing everything right. You're dotting every I, you're crossing every T, but there's one thing that you lack, praise God. See, we say this thing, praise God, that God knows my heart, praise God. My intentions are right, praise God. Yeah, God knows your heart. The Bible said it is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And he knows it. And he knows it. The Bible says that our righteousness, the best that I can do outside of the finished work of the cross with the blood of Jesus washing me, is as filthy rags, filthy menstrual rags. Praise God. And they said unto him, back in our text, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And they're still finding fault. And what I've shared in our earlier study, I'm going to say it again, because it bears repeating. Fasting is the least utilized, but yet one of the more powerful spiritual disciplines that we as Christians have. My Lord and my God, fasting, turning down your plate, it's the least utilized, praise God. We can do it at the beginning of the year. We can do it. Not necessarily that we're trying to get closer to God. It might be because we know we overate during these holidays and we want to, praise God, get a head start on that beach body for the summer, praise God. So we want to lose a few pounds, praise God. Again, it's the least utilized, but yet one of the more powerful spiritual disciplines that we have, praise God, because some victories in your life will only be won when you turn your plate down. And praise God, the Bible says, when you pray and when you fast, not if, but when, that should be a regular part of your life. Fasting should be a regular part of your life. See, the fasting reminds my flesh that the Spirit of the Lord rules this temple. Yeah, I know you're hungry. Yeah, I know you want something to eat right now, but when I deny my flesh in that area, praise God, when my flesh try to rise up in other areas, I'm able to deny it in those areas too. Praise God. When I want to say something spiteful and mean, praise God, when my enemy curse me, praise God, when I want to curse back at him, praise God, I can bless him, praise God. Well, I can do good to those that hate me, praise God, when I have my flesh in subjection. The text goes on to say, and he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Jesus, he is the new covenant. He trumps all the old. He didn't do away with the old. But he fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. He's the new covenant. And that change was hard for them. That change was hard for them. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Praise God. Many believe this is a direct reference to being a new creature in Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit, praise God. That new wine, in other words, says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Praise God. The new wine, praise God, be the Holy Spirit, praise God. And it must go into a new vessel. It must go into a new creature in Christ. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Again, you must be born again. You must be a new creature in Christ. And then where it says,
last verse of this chapter, it says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desires new, for he said, the old is better. Praise God. And you know, change is hard. Change is hard. They were having a hard time transitioning from the old ways, the old covenant, the keeping of the laws. Praise God. And, you know, and having drunk that old wine, you know, you don't necessarily want to do anything new. Praise God. It's hard. I'm reminded of the children of Israel. Praise God. When things got hard, it was like when God brought them out of Egypt, they're like, look, when we was in Egypt, when we was in captivity, we had leeks to eat. We had everything that we needed. But the new, praise God, the new, Jesus Christ is the new life in Christ. The new life is Christ. Praise God, is so much better. And there is a definitive change. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all have become new. And praise God. And if you haven't experienced that walking in newness of life today, praise God, today is your day. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear God knocking on the door of your heart, don't harden it. Open the door and let him in. Praise God. See, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Except the man is born of the water and of the spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. That new birth takes place. Praise God. When we do it, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, confess with your mouth. Agree, assent to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And again, we talked about the deity of Christ. He is Lord and he is God. And believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And again, we can't get to the resurrection without first going to the cross. He died a horrible death on the cross. Praise God. Not for his own sin, because he knew no sin. Mary didn't know a man. He was born of a virgin. And he lived a sinless life. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. John said of him, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And again, praise God, he willfully laid down his life. He had power to lay it down and take it back up again. They didn't take his life. He had the power, praise God, to lay it down and to take it back up again. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. And my Lord and my God, it was not possible for death to hold him. On that third day, God raised him from the dead. And again, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him. Call on him. He'll do just what he said. And that'll conclude our message for tonight. Thank you for joining us. This is Word of Reconciliation Ministries. Praise God. I'm Apostle Reginald. Praise God. This is where God, not man, is reconciling his people unto himself. Thank you for tuning in. And praise God. We hope to help you tune in next time. We pray that something was said tonight that will encourage you. We pray that something was said tonight that will just stir you up. And you know what teaching does, praise God, it takes the word of God and it teaches us to apply this word to our lives right today. Because this is the living word. This is the living word, and we want to apply it to our lives today. So I pray that something was said that you can apply to your life today. And we're going to close out with prayer. God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, again for opportunity to share. Lord God, we thank you that your word that has went forth. We thank you that it will not return unto you void. Lord God, it's going to do what you said. It's going to do what you sent it to do. And we praise you, Heavenly Father, God, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, Lord God, go before us, Lord God. Have your way in our lives, Heavenly Father. And God, I pray that, Lord God, that as we have heard your word tonight, that, Lord God, we will not be forgetful hearers, but doers of your word, Lord God. I pray that we will apply this, your word, to our lives. We ask these and all things in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.